excited for a fun October here on the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. We're going to get to our review of Freddy vs. Jason here coming up in a bit. But I want to encourage you guys to go on our Instagram page at Bad Movies Worst Opinions. Be sure to click on the bio and you can suggest a Halloween movie for October. The final Tuesday, we are going to pick a viewer request movie. We're going to choose it at random and we're going to review a movie that you guys want us to do. So again, go on our Instagram page. Go ahead and follow us, and you can participate with the show. All right, enough of me, more of the movie. Let's get to our review of Freddy vs. Jason.
We're not safe awake or asleep.
Why won't you die?
Go now!
Freddy vs. Jason.
Place your bets.
Welcome back into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule of the podcast that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Today is a special day. This is the first horror movie that we have ever done on the podcast. We were saving it for October. We have picked a good one, Freddy versus Jason. It is rated a 5.7 on IMDb. We have welcomed back Brandon Shackelford to join us. You were on our Street Fighter podcast a couple of months ago. You specifically said, bring me back in October so I can watch a scary movie.
That's right. I'm a horror connoisseur, as it were. Been watching horror movies since I was a child, so I was already ready for this to be on deck.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know. It's so hard to kind of, but I would put Paranormal Activity as one of my favorites. The Grudge, classics like The Ring. I'm more like into the paranormal opposed to like slasher, but I grew up heavy on slasher, so this was up my alley.
I'm probably more into the slasher kind of gory movies. Love the Scream series, love the Saw series. I really enjoyed this movie. I'm probably more in the slasher horror movie than the paranormal make you think kind of scary.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like the horror genre is so wide and sometimes it gets kind of just bogged into one box. But like you have, like I said, slasher, paranormal, you have sci-fi horror. This is just kind of like one of them things. Like I put slasher probably close second to what I really do enjoy, which is paranormal. This is great.
We've been asking people this now, the guests. I know you've been on here before, but let's act like this is your first time coming on here. What's the worst movie you've seen in the theater? What's your least favorite candy?
I don't go into movie theaters with a bad, if I have a bad vibe, I know I'm not going to enjoy it, but I always put In the Mix with Usher as like the worst movie I've ever went to see. I was in a bad mood too, and I was like, this is horrible.
Can we review In the Mix for this podcast? Can we please?
I have not rewatched that movie since it first came out in the theater.
I actually don't mind In the Mix by Usher.
Oh my God.
I don't mind that movie. I actually met the father randomly in Vegas. We like passed each other, and it was like, oh, you were in The Mix. You were in Bronx Tale.
Yeah,
like,
said Bronx
you were
Tale,
like
so, yeah.
A legitimate
yeah,
actor.
Yep.
You know how Vegas is one of those places. Like, you just randomly just be like, last time I went to Vegas, I'm just sitting there and taking shots, and right next to me is Cordell Stewart. Like, we're just taking shots together and talking.
Look, only time I've ever been to Vegas, we were out there with Juicy J. And it was just such a randomness, like, oh, okay.
Bands will make her dance. So, Freddy vs. Jason is rated a 5.7 on IMDb. I'm a little surprised by this. This movie released August 15th of 2003 with a runtime of 98 minutes. The budget was $30 million. It made $116 at the box office. I am not surprised the movie did well.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a mid-August release. This feels like a September 27th, and then it stays in the theater for a month. August 15th for a scary movie is a little surprising to me, the release date.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, especially now, if you look at, like, the horror movies that's come out this year, there's been so many that came out around this same time period or a little bit earlier. Plus, back then, I feel like a lot of movies kind of did run in theater for a longer period of time. I don't know Freddy versus Jason's long run in the theater, but I feel like it had to be in theater still by October. So people get their Halloween fix if they wanted to go see this specific movie.
So let me give you the box office. This movie came out August 15th of 2003. The box office that week, Freddy versus Jason debuted at number one with $36.4 million. SWAT was second that week with $18.1 million. Open Range was $14 million. Freaky Friday was fourth that week. Uptown Girls also was in the top five. That movie made $11 million this week. Which one do you like more? Do you like the original Nightmare on Elm Street, or do you like Friday the 13th?
As a child, Nightmare on Elm Street scared me more. Like, it was legitimately scary. Because, like, I mean, it came out around, I think the first time I ever saw Freddy was probably 6 or 7. And that was the scariest thing. Jason was just like more of a location monster for me. So I was like, all I have to do is not go to that. I'm good. I wouldn't have a nightmare because I'm like, I'm never going to be there.
That was the thing that I was like, you know, I haven't seen those original movies in some time, but just watching this, and they're kind of giving you the origin of both of the characters. Like, Freddy Krueger is like a really well thought out horror monster. Like, right. Everybody goes to sleep at some point. So right. He visits you in your dreams. He attacks children. Like, Freddy is really thought out. Jason is just something traumatic happened. You started killing people. That's the basis of almost every yep, horror movie. Yeah.
And the thing about it is with Jason, it's interesting because Jason is almost a sympathetical character because he was a child that was deformed. They weren't watching him. He dies and comes back for revenge after they kill his mother. Freddy is not. He is a horrible person. His story changes a lot, but even at the base of it, he's a child murderer that ends up getting set free and then the parents seek out justice. Like, and he's just like, oh, okay, I sell myself to the demon. I come back, everybody. Like, okay, now you are not a good person at all. Like, nothing redeemable about you, Freddy.
Let me get you guys the cast of Freddy versus Jason. Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger. Ken Kersinger is Jason Voorhees. Monica Keena is Laura Campbell. Kelly Rowland is Kia Watterson. Jason Ritter is Will Rollins. Chris Marquette is Charlie Linderman. He is the geek in this movie. Brendan Fletcher is Mark Davis. Those are the main characters for Freddy versus Jason. So this movie begins with Freddy Krueger throwing a doll into a furnace and terrorizing this poor little girl. Freddy is also telling us how he used to be the man back in the day putting numbers on the board. A woman is waiting for Mike down at the dock of the bay. Titties, because every rated R horror movie needs titties. Our girl is about to go skinny dipping in the lake, but I don't think Mike is coming. After seeing Jason, white girl runs into the forest and trips, a classic horror movie trope. Well, she's dead. One thing that I appreciate about this movie is, like, if you made Scary Movie Bingo, this movie hit a bunch of them, man. They hit a bunch of them.
If this movie would be a blackout on the bingo board because it hit everything. That's why I said it's so campy. It's every cliche that you expect in a horror movie done over the top, and it's humorous in a way that you're like, okay, I expect this, like I said, it touches every horror button that you expect, especially in a slasher movie.
I will say this, and I know you're gonna condemn me for this, I did think at some point we were gonna see Lori's titties. I just thought that was gonna pop up at one point. I thought it was gonna be like a Scream Nev Campbell little sex scene action. I thought we were gonna get some of Lori. I wanted to see him. I knew he wasn't getting Kelly Rowland. I would have seen them on the internet again at some point. I couldn't believe we didn't get no Lori titty.
No, her character was supposed to be the virgin. So like that's why it was the final girl type situation. Like you don't get to see them at all. Just like the original like Halloween and all these other stories, the chest ones stay pure on screen.
So this is a dream. His mother tells Jason that he's not dead. He can't die and that he should go back to Elm Street and take back the block. It's time for a girls' night and the ladies are playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with the Three Stooges, which seems like one of the worst games you could play during a girls' night. Some fellas show up with some brews and now the party is just getting started. Jason is in the house and the right person gets killed first. That girl doesn't see that there's blood on the ground. So, you know, she goes to take a shower. They get done doing their business. He was a real asshole, by the way. Yeah, like, bitch, get off me, basically. Was his energy.
He was like, man, she was low on the roster.
You know, when he was cold-blooded, he was real cold. So then she go take a shower. You know, she hears some commotion. You don't see, it's not like a little droplets of blood.
She stepped in a puddle.
I'm talking about it was a pool of blood. Like, you didn't see that laying on the ground?
I would have went out the window. That's all I need to see right now.
I would have been like, man, something just seemed a little bit off. What is this on the ground?
That ain't oil, so I'm about to get up out of here.
So everybody runs out into the pouring rain. We find maybe the most unobservant police officer in movie history.
You kids need some assistance?
When they run outside, and you can see that they are terrified, and the officer rolls the window down and says, hey, do you guys need any help? And she screams at him, what the fuck do you think? I rewound it two separate times and made me laugh that much.
Again, camp. Like, it's so, little small town cops just don't have the kind of sense. But, I mean, like, it is still Elm Street, so you would think, I don't know. It was just like, he wasn't observant. He was just like a horrible cop.
Like, you didn't see the door was open. They all running outside. This white girl in a towel. Like, brother, you know, maybe because it was dark. I don't know what it was. But it didn't make any sense to me. So after the murder, Lori is at the precinct having weird visions, seeing blood prints, and a little girl with no eyes who tells her that Freddy is coming back. Blake is ready to avenge his friend Trey's death, but not really, because he gets a face-to-face with Freddy and runs faster than Noah Lyles. Freddy hasn't turned his swag all the way on yet, but it's coming. It doesn't matter because he's part of the tag team champions of the world. So Jason finishes the job. What would you have done when you try to go out and talk to your son and he tells you to fucking give me some space? Like, that would have been the end of him. You wouldn't have needed Freddy or Jason to kill him. You would have killed him.
I would have been like, I don't know who the hell you think you're talking to. But again, he came at him all, like, he was already, like, in a bad mood coming at his kid. And I was like, Doug, I don't know if you should come at him like this. He watched his friend get killed. I was like, I mean, you need a hug, Doug? You good? Maybe we should drive away and move away real quick. I don't know what's going on in this town.
I do want to know how much that dad got paid to talk to be in the movie. He gave two lines.
Yeah.
He never speaks again in the movie.
No.
He comes outside to say, hey, why were you not with your sister? His son tells him basically to fuck off. He then says, watch yourself, bud. And that's the last time we see him. Yeah. We never see him at any other point in the
you
movie.
See him again when his head falls off.
No, we see him again dead.
Yeah.
We never see him living anymore.
What the hell were you doing over there? You were supposed to be watching your sister. Were you drinking?
My best friend was just killed, Dad. So how about giving me some fucking space?
You watch yourself, boy.
That man was on set for 32 minutes.
Hey,
bro.
He might have got a good check.
He got $150 and a hot sandwich.
He might have got all the catering he wanted.
So we are now inside the loony bin, and Mark and Will are trapped and have been inside the loony bin for 4 years. Mark pretends to be a monkey so he can grab the guard's badge to escape. Lori is still having nightmares about Freddy, so she doesn't want to go to sleep. I do think the movie did a really good job as the movie progressed. You got a feel for what was real and what was fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell when something was happening, oh, this is a dream.
Right.
This person is asleep. Something needs to happen to wake them up. I thought for a movie that kind of dives into the what's reality and what's not reality, I thought the movie did a good job of kind of separating the two, and you could always, you were never confused what
right.
was going on.
Right. So that's one of the interesting parts about the Nightmare on Elm Street like series. It literally does this thing where sometimes it almost blends reality with dream world. So there's obviously going to be parts of the movie where like you know the characters in dream world, but there's moments where like they don't know and you don't know if they're dreaming yet until like something basically shows like a body dragging by itself. You're like, oh, they're dreaming. But like this was definitely, it was like a different tint sometimes when they were in dream world. It was a bluish hue when she was dreaming inside the actual the police station. When they went inside the boiler room, it was that dark red. So, yeah, like, it's obviously, but the color of the screen shows you.
So, Lori decides to go to school in the midst of everything that's going on. They always still go to school
go
in the midst of everything that's going on. And Scream, Ned yes. Campbell couldn't, Sydney couldn't wait to go back to class.
I think Nightmare on Elm Street 2, they go back to school. Like, it's always like this. Yeah, you watch the murder. I'm not going back to nothing. I don't know what happened.
You know what? You know, I think you can take a, you can take a PTO day after you witness a murder.
That's a mental health day for real.
Yeah, 100%. So, some geek is trying to mack on Lori, but Kelly Rowland is playing elite defense. She was like Trent McDuffie out there on the
she was
Darrell Reeves out there. So Lori tries to tell her friends about her the dreams that she's been having, but they think she's crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, Will and Mark, who are just walking the streets free, they have been in an asylum for 4 years. They are now walking the streets. They go into school. They mingling. Nobody gets them. They just how?
And the way they escape is crazy too. I was like, this is the most comical escape possible. Like, none of that black guy should have been like, I'm not doing this. This is stupid. All right, whatever.
So Kelly Rowland starts to have the same dreams and nightmares that everybody else is having. Freddy is spreading. Mark and Will head to the library to do my favorite horror movie trope. You know what I love in a horror movie?
Research.
I love when they investigate.
Man, research.
I love it. I love it.
Research is always great.
They don't do this in any other movie, but man, in a horror movie, they will go to the library, they will get on Google, and they will find out. They will discover the entire plot of the movie in one scene. It's great. I love it.
My favorite thing is when they do like the old school like film screen things, and they find the perfect one that tells the whole story, like a 1984 clip or 1923 clip. You're like, whoa. The whole house burned down.
I was about to say that it's always a house fire from a long time ago. Somebody was trapped in the attic, and now that spirit is just taking over this house. It's wild. So Will has things figured out, but Mark is a non-believer. They have one night to do what they need to do before they're going to hightail it out of town. The townies are doing what the townies do in a horror movie. They're having a party in the middle of a killing spree.
Yeah.
You know what rural America loves to do? They love to throw a shindig in the middle.
Oh, cornfield.
Just while there's a mass murderer in town.
Like, there's an unsolved murders going around. I mean, that's almost like the Scream kind of logic, too, because they had all those murders. They're like, this, we're going to have a party together. I'm like this. I don't know if I want to be at this party.
I don't want to be around all of y'all. Like, hold on. You telling me he tried to kill you on Tuesday. He tried to kill you on Wednesday. And now we going to hang out together? Nah, bro. I'm not trying to be around you.
I don't know who's the killer. And I'm just going to be in the room with all these people at one time?
Doesn't make any sense. So our favorite local geek is still pushing through the roadblocks and trying to pull Lori. Gib leaves the party to go off by herself for a smoke break, which is a huge, scary movie no-no. She encounters her ghost hookup, Trey, and follows him into a bar for another scary movie no-no. Freddie and Jason are in a race to kill Gib. Jason wins the race. So you're telling me that this man, he wasn't nice to you when he was alive. He was mean to you when he was dead, and you were still listening to his destruction? You deserve to die.
Yeah. Like, that was one of the things you're just like,
She had that one coming.
Yeah.
She earned that death.
Sometimes characters just do things you're like, this makes zero sense.
I mean, first off, she goes ISO in the middle of the party. She goes off for a drink, smoke break.
And
she's listening to the ghost. Yeah, come on
you
now.
You saw the body. Yeah, ain't no way in hell I'm there's no splitting up. I'm always with a battle buddy at that point. Like, nah, brother, we not going. I'm with somebody.
So yeah, I'm telling you, Gib certainly earned her death. So one of the kids tries to burn Jason with some Everclear and a tiki torch, but his attempt is unsuccessful.
Check out this fucking guy.
Well, hey, Jethro. This is a rave, not a Halloween party. Why don't you go find yourself a pig to fuck?
Yeah, invite only Cornpoke, and you weren't invited.
Jason pulls up to the party on fire and pulls off an old school Halo running riot. Remember when you hit the little plasma sword? You would just go through killing everybody. That's basically what Jason does with the local. The kids finally realize that it's not just Freddy doing the killing, but they have to deal with this freak in the hockey mask too. Will tells Lori the truth about her dad. Her mom did not die in a car accident, but he murdered her mother. He's been lying about a lot. Our girl finally wises up and decides to run away from her home. Her pops is crazy. This was one storyline that I'm not really sure if the movie needed. The dad was maybe guilty, but was it a dream? He's been covering things up this whole time. I'm not really sure if the movie needed this storyline. I felt like there was enough there that this just felt like you were throwing in something that the movie never really fully explored a whole lot.
Yeah, it was just like one of those. It was like a B, it wasn't even a B plot. It was like a C plot that was just like attached to the story of the main character, which, it's kind of ties to who she is and why she acts the way she was, but it didn't really do anything for the story just to be like, hey, yeah, Freddy killed her, but the dad was trying to get Freddy off of him while he was sleeping, this whole dreaming thing, and like, okay.
Yeah, because then, I mean, the whole point with Freddy is that he attacks children. It's like, but now he took over your dad, and now he's doing this. It felt unnecessary for a movie that I actually think, just given the subject matter, made a lot of sense.
Right.
That was one of the things that I just don't really think made a whole lot of sense.
But on the other side, Freddy does kill adults. He does a lot.
He was killing. Freddy and Jason just didn't care.
They he's like a focus group. He's like, yeah, you know what? I like to stay in this area with the teenagers, but, you know, I can't venture out if possible.
Yeah, I don't discriminate. No, not at all. That's what we learned about both of these individuals. So Mark is back at home trying desperately to stay awake, but he drops his caffeine pill down the sink. You know what that means. A 187 is coming. Freddy pops up in the mirror. Mark falls asleep, so you know the drill. He gets killed by Freddy Krueger.
Somebody please wake me up! Please!
Lori is having another bad dream and another run-in with Freddy. The group puts it together that the drug Hypnosil that they were taking at the loony bin stops them from having the dreams, and that's what's kept Freddy away. We also get cliche stoner kid in this movie.
Yes.
Just another trope. There's always the smoked out. I get it. They were filling a lot of the cliches.
Yeah.
He was the weakest character in the movie to me.
You had the kids having sex, the kids underage drinking, the stoner kid. You pretty much filled, like you said earlier.
The stoner kid wasn't even in their group, though. They had a group.
They met him at the party, and he just tagged along just so they have a random other person to kill. It was just like this.
It would make sense to me if he was like in their group, like Kelly Rowland, Lori, They had a core five. They had the Avengers. We just picked up somebody random to come off the bench.
But honestly, like, it was like a couple of times, too, where, like,
we didn't even know his name in the movie.
No, stoner guy. That was it. That's like the cop that joined all of a sudden and got killed. And then, like, it was just all the time, just random tag-alongs to get murdered. I was like this. They just need extra bodies for extra body counts.
The cliche stoner kid is by himself, so you know that his death is imminent. He gets taken over by some stoner monster this was the worst scene in the movie. It's like a CGI weed worm that takes over his body and starts to control him and gives him a contact. This part maybe was good in 2003.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, 2003.
This part in 2024 was bad.
He was like, the CGI. I don't think there's any good CGI from that period because it all looks like really bad. But that was one of those scenes you're like, that's a tough watch.
Yeah, it's funny just kind of watching so many of these movies for the podcast. You know, there's so many things that I think hold up really well from the 2000s and 2010s. Man, when they tried to get on that computer and start doing it, it looks like the 80s now at this point. It looks like something from Ghostbusters. It was bad.
That's the craziest part. Like, you look back at, like, the CGI of the 2000s, it looks like you're looking at 90s or 80s CGI now that where we're at with CGI. That's why whenever I see people complain about CGI now, I'm like this. Do you remember where we came from?
yeah. That's like when you look at video games and the graphics, you're like, bro, I was playing NBA Shootout back in 98. Y'all telling me 2K don't look real, bro? No,
yeah, I don't know what y'all
looking at. Y'all don't know nothing about what we used to play when we were kids. So he gets taken over by some stoner monster, which causes him to throw away all the hypnoseal. So that's the drug that was going to keep them from having the dreams. Freddy is now taking over the stoner kid's body, and he stabs Jason with a double dose of the tranquilizer, but he gets sliced up in the process. Jason and Freddy get into an epic showdown, and Freddy learns that even Jason is afraid of something. Water. The kids are taking Jason's body to Crystal Lake. Lori has a weird snuggle session with Jason. They are like laying down together in their little mystery machine van. Yeah. Why is Lori snuggled up with the killer?
I didn't understand that part.
He's killed 15 people right now. Y'all cuddling?
She could have done that sitting. She could have been sleep sitting up.
Yeah.
The same seat. She was in the passenger seat. You could have just took your drug and just sat up like this, man. Would you want to be comfy on the bottom of the van floor?
What's more ridiculous? Is it that part or they were about to have Kelly Rowland give Jason Voorhees mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Hey, you got to save him. No, you don't got to save Jason. Let him die.
He would have been dead if I had to do it. I'd have been like this. Nah, that boy.
She was willing to take one for the team.
That's a grenade I refuse to fall on. I'll do a lot of things, but that, nah.
And it's so funny because you watching the movie know that this is a really bad idea. Like, why is Kelly Rowland about to give CPR to the bad guy in the movie? And right when she is about to do it, of course, something goes wrong. Like, y'all didn't see that this was possibly the worst idea that you could have in this moment. Y'all should be trying to kill Jason, not revive Jason.
You know, their overall plan was to get him back to Camp Crystal Lake and then have him fight Freddy there. But, like, at this point, I'd be like this.
Wherever they squabble, they squabble.
Yeah, like this. I'm like this, man. Look, he's dying. I'm like this, man. Okay, I guess we got to figure out another plan.
We got to have a plan B.
I don't know if I'm not giving that man no kind of lip-to-lip nothing.
I can't believe. She turned into
I'll stomp on his chest.
She turned into John Witherspoon on Friday. Come on, Craig. Get up, Craig. She did that to Jason, which is absolutely nuts. So Lori gets knocked out in the process, and I mean knocked out. And she sees that her dad didn't kill her mom, but it was actually Freddy Krueger. Kelly Rowland leaves Lieberman, the geeky kid, and the florist alone, and it looks like he's bleeding out. Well, Kelly Rowland will not be coming back for him because she's dead now after a Bushido blade from Jason. I was stunned because I didn't remember the plot. I didn't remember what happened in this movie. When I saw Kelly Rowland in this movie, I was certain she died in the first 15 minutes. She's one of the last people to die in this movie.
Yeah.
Very impressive streak from you, Kelly Rowland.
Yeah.
For a movie that had only one black person, the fact that you lived about
two.
Who's the other black person?
The medication guy.
So we had the asshole and then Kelly Rowland. We only had two roles.
The one that drugged people. He was and then Kelly Rowland. That was it.
When I saw Kelly Rowland in here, I was like, oh. I thought she was going to die kind of how, like, when Rose McGowan. Like, Rose McGowan didn't die, but she felt like she was going to be important in Scream. No. But she ended up, all right, hey, 30 minutes in, Rose McGowan, or you
like,
out of here.
Like Jada Pinkett in Scream 2 and Mekhi Phifer.
Omar Epps, yeah.
I mean, I'm like Kanye.
They look alike. Yeah, they all look alike. So Freddie and Jason have another showdown at the Dock of the Bay at Crystal Lake. Neither side is winning. Both sides are carving the other side up. This gives Will and Lori just enough time to spray everything down with gasoline and blow everything up. But Freddy still has one more life left, and he is about to use it to eliminate the two lovebirds. But Lori has other plans. You are in her world now, bitch. They were throwing that line out there.
I know.
They really wanted that to be the tagline for the movie. They wanted that the line to hit and stick in this movie. I don't know if it stuck.
Freddy Krueger was really on some Too Short shit the whole time.
What's my favorite word?
Bitch, I was like this, dog. He keeps saying this every time. I'm like this, man. Jesus Christ, Freddy, let the word go. You just called everybody a bitch by this one movie. I'm like,
what do you think about the ending? Because it was hard to write down the ending for this movie. Because the ending is just a bunch of fighting and we have no clue who wins. Freddy gets his licks in. Jason gets his licks in. They both kind of look at the camera at the end and you're like, well, I guess it was Freddy versus Jason and it's a tie. What happened?
It's like Godzilla versus King Kong. Like, it's just always a stalemate. They're like this, man. You wanted to see the fight. You don't care about who wins. We can't let one person specifically win because they're both like powerhouses of the franchise. You got to just basically say, oh, it's 50-50 draw. Disqualification, something, throw out something. That's it. That's some wrestling stuff.
I'm a little bit surprised now, especially because they've brought back Michael Myers and Halloween so often. I'm surprised that we haven't had a modern Nightmare on Elm Street or a modern Jason movie. Like, New Line Cinema has kind of let those two characters die, and they're they redid Candyman recently. Like, they've kind of been bringing back those scary movies. They did a remake of The Grudge not that long ago. I'm surprised that it's been this long since we've had a Freddy or Jason movie.
I'm surprised, too. I mean, they had a recent remake of Freddy, but I forget what year. I think that was, like, 2014.
I feel like they tried to do Friday the 13th, too. They maybe tried to do a remake of the original. It might have been, like, a decade ago now at this point.
I just think it's I feel like this is one of those things maybe 20 years out. You look up next 10 years, you'll see a Freddy Krueger coming back for another remake and rehashing of the same story. Maybe modernized. I don't know. But I feel like it's on deck. New Line Cinema now owns both of those franchises. So it's like, It's funny, though, because I was reading and kind of get prepared for this. Like, New Line Cinema owns the rights to Jason, but not the name Friday the 13th. Like, it's just so they have to basically make it just be Jason. Like, that's why, like, all the movies after, like.
So who owns the trademark for Friday the 13th?
The original. I don't know who originally produced Friday the 13th.
Okay.
But, like, that's why, like, it became Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh, okay.
It was like, they couldn't say the name Friday the 13th because they own Jason. But they didn't own the name Friday the 13th.
That's weird for a major studio to slip up like that and let somebody else own a really important, like, if you think of all the scary movie things that have lasted, Friday the 13th might be number one on the list. Like, oh man, it's Friday the 13th. Like, you think about this, even if it's June or July, like the fact that they turned something into a major pop culture moment yet don't own it. It's really, really surprising.
I feel like they made their profit off of it. It's like, you know.
Oh, they definitely made money.
Yeah.
And isn't he like DLC in one of the Mortal Kombats now?
No. Jason is in pretty much everything. Jason, the funniest thing is there's a game, Tooniverse, where like you play like, it's like Smash Brothers.
Okay.
But they have a Jason character in there, and he does that move that he did in the movie where he folds the kid in the bed. He does that move in the game. Like, it's one of his, like, super, like, over-the-head attacks. Like, I'm like this. Oh, this is crazy. I was watching it like this when I watched the movie again. I was like this. Oh, that's
You've seen that movie before.
Yeah, I've seen that video game. That's in the video game.
Welcome to Foolish Club Media, your brand new home for all things Kansas City Chiefs and whatever else we want to talk about. Our beloved lineup of expert-led shows continues to bring you the most comprehensive coverage of the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Catch up on all your favorite discussions with Show and BK, or stop in for the Daily Fix with Ron Hughley. Keep up on everything happening in Kansas City with Brian B. Shinen and Brian's World, or stop in for the latest NFL draft buzz with Veach Season. Subscribe at Foolish Club Media on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas City, food-wise, once only known as a barbecue town. But thanks to the Taco the Town podcast, everything has changed. Kansas City has rightfully taken its place as a taco paradise, smack dab in the middle of the USA. And all of these tacos belong to us on the Taco the Town podcast. My name is W. David Keith, certified tacoholic, and I live a very taco-centric lifestyle. On the Taco the Town podcast, we're tasting every taco in the town. We shine a light on all of the taco-rific tacos Kansas City has to offer, unearthing great taco memories, checking the latest stories in taco news, and interviewing actors, reporters, chefs, politicians, and musicians about their love for tacos. If you love tacos like I do, you're gonna love Taco the Town. Available wherever you get your taco podcasts. A proud member of the Lotus Pod Podcasting Network.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, Freddy vs. Jason has an approval rating of 41% based on 165 reviews with an average rating of 5.0. The site's critical consensus reads, quote, "Fans of the two horror franchises will enjoy this showdown, but for everyone else, this is the same old slice and dice." I don't think this movie is really made for anybody outside of that first sentence.
Yeah.
If you like slasher movies and you like Freddy Krueger and Jason, go see this.
Yeah.
If that's not the kind of horror movie that you are into, stay away from this. This movie is not for you. There are plenty of other movies. The Conjuring, they're those kinds of horror movies. That's not what this one. This is a teen campy slasher movie, and it never really deviates from a formula that has obviously been successful for generations.
Right, and it's obvious they had an idea of what they. I think they did really well with incorporating the story and making it make sense. Like, hey, you know, Jason is basically killing kids on Elm Street to make them remember Freddy, so he can come back and do what he wants to do. The plot makes sense to me as a horror enthusiast. I'm like, this, all right, it's not like it's far-fetched for what the worlds they both have created. So like, it makes sense. So like, if you enjoyed, I would say not the first original Nightmare on Elm Street, but like after 3, where it gets kind of silly, you'll enjoy this. If you enjoyed the like last two Jasons, where it's kind of silly, like Jason goes to space, Jason goes, it's still silly, but it's like a still over the top violence, you'll enjoy this. But if you didn't like either of those, this ain't gonna be for you.
One thing I really enjoy about this podcast and watching movies from this time frame, because you're a little bit older than me, but we're from the same generation, is right. These movies just, they show you what kids were listening to at this time, and they show you what they are wearing. I mean, Kelly Rowland, all her fits scream early 2000s.
Yes.
Her hair screams early
2000s. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I can show you a picture of that person. Like, when was this picture taken?
You know,
oh, that's like 02.
Yeah.
You would know exactly when that picture was.
Oh, yeah, that's old school. That's about 20 years ago right there. Like, no, the funniest thing is, like, the music, too. Like, the soundtrack is so 2000s.
100%.
It's like that rock that's like that pop rock. You're like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not really a fan, but you know, it makes sense in the context of the movie, especially when it's like the end of it. They start, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, this, yeah, it's 2000 something.
What do you think this movie gets right?
Like I said, I think the plot, it makes sense. The acting is kind of for what it is. I think it works just because it is what the franchises have built it for. Like, it's just a silly over the top. My favorite thing is the fight they had in Dreamworld. Freddy's just using Jason as like a pinball. And I'm like, this is what you want to see. This is Freddy at his best, just doing whatever he wants to in the dream world. Like, that's what I think really works best. And even when they get back outside and have that fight, Jason's a powerhouse. He's going to do what he wants. You can't kill him. So, like, I like the fight scenes, even though, like, it was, like you said, like, Godzilla versus King Kong, you had to wait a long time to get to that fight, but I feel like it was a good payoff at the end.
No, 100%. I think this movie gets right that it knows exactly what it is and it never deviates from a playbook that works.
Mm-hmm.
That this movie never tried to be something it wasn't. It never tried to get too deep in a plot. It never really tried to explain something. You go to Freddy versus Jason for the killings. You go for the slashing. You go for the teen campiness.
Yeah.
You go for the cliches. I thought this movie gave it to you in droves. I think it was a really fun movie. Like, I always try to put myself back in the time frame of when these movies were. And is this a movie that I'd have been happy if my parents had dropped me off at the mall and gave you $20 and said, hey, go have fun. What are you going to see? I'm going to see Freddy versus Jason with my friends. You would have left that movie like, oh, man, that movie was good.
You were talking about it next in the school when you go to Monday. Yeah. You're like this. Yeah, you're like that. You should have saw that one. And he hit her with the thing. Like, see, it was perfect at that time period. Right now, I was like, yeah, I can see it.
What do you think the movie got wrong?
Acting was terrible. Like a lot of the over the top lines. We talked about it off thing. Kelly Rowland dropping the F slur was crazy work.
Yeah, that is a word that, you know, we're all adults. We all curse. We all say things like that is a word that they have just beaten out of our lexicon.
Yes.
Where you could say that word in 2001, 2002, and it was commonplace.
Yes.
You say that word, it hits your ear.
Yes.
In such a way that's just like, ooh.
Also, even though, like, it was, I wouldn't put it in the get wrong, but I did, that part where Freddie goes after Kelly Rowland and he says, ooh, what a treat, dark meat. I was like, I said, what's happening here? Like, I was like,
with some light-skinned girls and some Kelly Rowland. Like, that's this, what he said.
I'm like, Freddie, you've killed black people before. Now, like, why is this getting you hype?
Not this movie.
He's like, nah, it was only white people in this town of Hellsville.
Yeah, no, not this movie. He only had that white meat. He turned around, he saw that dark meat. He's like, wait, hold on, I got to get me some. He said, I want one of those. That's what he said. What I think the movie gets wrong, we talked about it earlier. I think it's the father storyline. Mm. I don't think the father storyline just adds anything to the movie.
Right.
It's just, it's not long in the movie, but it's just an unnecessary 5 minutes that even when you finally get the reveal, you're like, okay, like it was Freddy Krueger in a dream that did more stuff. Like, yeah, that's what you guys have been telling us for the last hour. I thought that storyline was pretty unnecessary. Yeah. Also, the CGI of the movie, like the CGI, I think in other parts held up pretty well.
Yeah.
Like whenever the first kid is outside and he runs to the street and he sees Freddy and he sees that shadow.
Yeah.
I think that part holds up pretty well. But that CGI scene, it felt like a Resident Evil 2 on PlayStation cutscene. It was bad to watch it today.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with like certain practical effects or certain CGI things, they look like you said, the shadow one. There's a couple of other ones that aren't bad, but then when you look at that one, anything that's over the top really drives you like, oh, yeah, that's not as. It's like I think about The Rock in, was it Prince Egypt, where he became like a centaur or whatever, and it was like, oh, this is bad. I watched that recently, like, oh. It's CGI when it gets like really detailed and something's big, you like it gets worse. The shadow works.
Yeah, I feel like CGI from this era only really works in superhero movies because we recently watched Tomb Raider and I don't think it held up very well in Tomb Raider either. This is just not a good time, I think, for CGI where the technology, you could see the create, like it's getting there where kind of where we are now. It just wasn't there in the early 2000s. All right, this movie is rated a 5.7 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right for Freddy versus Jason?
I think that's fair. I think I would put it right about, I'd probably put it at a 5.2 if I had to be specific. But I feel like that's a fair. 5 is great, especially for horror that's a slasher. You want to be around a 5. That's usually a top-tier movie. You're not going to get a lot of 6 and 7 horror movies out here.
Yeah, I think that this one is fairly rated. I mean, I could maybe rate it a little bit higher. I really enjoyed this movie.
Like, would you give it a 6?
Nah, I don't think it's that high. To me, 6 is a little bit too high. Like, I've been kind of using The Ring as a metric because, like, that was the first movie. It's like, hey, what's The Ring?
Yeah.
The Ring was a 7.1. Like, I think The Ring is a really, really good
movie.
I
agree.
So, like, do I think it's nowhere close to where I think The Ring is. I think this movie is about what it is. It's a 5.7, 5.8, but that doesn't make it a bad movie by any means. It is a fun movie. You're right. The acting is bad. There's a paper-thin plot in this. The CGI doesn't hold up, But this is one enjoyable. This is one of those movies that if you were with your friends or your girl was like, hey, let's watch a scary movie, let's watch Freddy versus Jason, you guys are going to have an enjoyable experience watching this movie.
You can definitely make some jokes, enjoy it. You don't have to be too into the story because you know what it is. It's very surface level. So, yeah, this is definitely, I would put it, like I said, a 5.2, which is still a fair, I think, a very high rating for a horror slasher that's outdated.
So we're doing something pretty cool this month. I want you guys to go on our Instagram page, look in the bio, and we have a movie request form. In that movie request form, you can suggest a movie. We're going to do a spin on our Instagram page, so on the reel, and you can suggest a movie rated below a 6.0. And for the final Tuesday of October, we are going to do a scary movie. That is our guy, Brandon Shackle, for joining us on the podcast today. It is the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. We believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Brandon, man, happy to have you join us again, man, on the podcast.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here. Love to discuss movies anytime I get a chance.
Next week, we are going to do House of Wax. We are keeping the scary movie theme for all of October. We'll catch you guys next week.